Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to the Score programme tonight here on Highland. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking North West cricket with Eamon McLaughlin, Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan, and Derry Journal sports journalist Kevin McLaughlin talks to us about the upcoming FAI Senior Cup games involving Finn Harps and Derry City this coming weekend. Paddy Hunter has the lowdown in the quarterfinals of the Tyrone Senior Football Championship. But first up, we're going to discuss cycling. And the fifth edition of the Donegal Wild Atlantic Way Ultra 555 race gets underway tomorrow morning, Friday, in Letterkenny, with the first of the riders away at 7 a.m. The route is 555 kilometres along the Donegal coastline, taking in the likes of Malinhead, Mamore Gap, Knockalla, Atlantic Drive, Hornhead, Glengash Pass, Slieve League and Barnesmore Gap, just to mention a few, and it's all within a 60 hours time limit. Former professional Irish cyclist Conor Dunn and Everstein world record holder Ronan McLaughlin are both taking part in this year's event, with McLaughlin, we understand, looking to break the 18 hour mark, which would be a tremendous achievement, covering that amount of ground and that amount of distance here in Donegal. Sean McFadden, of course, is one of the organisers of the 555. I spoke to him earlier this week about the event, but first of all, we discussed his own Everstein record attempt, which took place on Monday past at Mamore Gap, where he became the second fastest Irish rider on the attempt in just over 10 hours.
That was tough, you know, but when I've done now, I'm kind of happy I've done it. I've set myself another challenge, and I was looking to challenge myself on doing something this year, and you know, nothing was kind of fitting into my time scale and stuff like that. But then when I suppose I'd done support crew for Ronan the last time he set the world record, and I was there the first time he'd done it as well, and I thought, you know what, this is something that I would love to do myself. And on Friday night, I rang Ronan and said, listen, I'm thinking about having a go at this. What do you think? And he said, you're mad. And I said, well, as if you can do it twice, I think I can do it once. So we looked at the weather forecast, and I rang my other friend, Kieran Doherty. He's a fisherman over in Burtonport, and we tried to make sure that the weather was good and it was kind of what I wanted, and it worked out well. It probably was a bit hot, but I was hoping for a bit of a tailwind, but it didn't seem to come, you know. But I suppose, you know, with the sun was shining and the day was good, and that was it. So we went for it on a Monday morning. I landed there at 6:31. I started at 6:31, but we landed there about 6:15, myself and my daughter Kira and her friend Emer and my son Rory. And away we went, and that was it. There was no going back, Oisín.
Yeah. Well, it was a great achievement. Did you surpass your expectation of how you would do on it?
I think I did a wee bit, you know. Like as I say, I'm not a climber by any means. I carry a bit of timber, as people would say, I suppose, a bit of weight. But I chatted to Ronan about, you know, the top 10 Irish records, and, you know, could I get in the top 5 or could I get anywhere near it? And he said, well, Sean, you know, he said, even to get second, he said, the guy that you're going to try and beat is a very good A1 rider and he's a good climber. And he said, so if you get anywhere near that, it would be a massive achievement for you. But I did not have that in my head at the start, you know. As I was saying to people after, I had 16 laps done, and I thought to myself, what am I doing? Why did I even do this again? Why am I even here? You know, I was like, I was hurting at that stage, you know. But as the day went on, and then, you know, I got into the zone, and people come to cheer me on, like Brian Mackey was there, and Nikita Burke was there. Johnny McCaffrey from Lagoon appeared out of nowhere with the children, and they were cheering me on. And then Ronan landed after about 45 laps into it, and I was going to stop at 50 laps and have a break. And then I thought to myself, if I stop now, this man's going to think I'm a real wuss, you know. So I said, I'm going to have to keep going. And then I got as far as 60, and, you know, I just kept going after that, and I got into the zone. And then Ronan gave me kind of the heads up that, you know, if you keep going at this pace, it's possible you could be the second fastest Irishman. And then when he told me that, you know, coming from Ronan, as everybody knows what he is, he's the world record holder now, and he's probably one of the best cyclists to come out of Donegal behind Philip Dagenham. When he was encouraging me that way, I thought, right, I'm going to have to keep going now. And I pushed on, you know, and I was delighted then when I got clarification yesterday. We went to Ronan, we uploaded it to the Strava, and we've sent it on now to the Hells 500. And he's got an email back, Ronan's got an email back from them saying that they're going to clarify it in the next couple of days that where I'm placed in the world. But if Ronan has got his calculations right, then he's done the maths on it, I should be maybe in the top 50 in the world. And to be funny, second Irishman behind Ronan, I'm happy with that. I'm over the moon with it, Bronzy.
Yeah, great achievement. Okay, moving on to this weekend. You're going to have a busy one. It's the 555 again, the delayed 555, obviously due to the pandemic. But it's getting closer. The excitement is building towards it. And you've got a great lineup this year. Like the men at the head of the field, Conor Dunn's here, Ronan McLaughlin's here, Mark McGinley, Rory Devlin. They're the four big hitters who are going to jostle for the title of winning it this year, Sean.
Of course, you know, as you said, it's been delayed over the last couple of months, and postponed the 12th of June, and then with the situation that we're in, we put it back to the next weekend on the 20th of August. And listen, last weekend we thought we were going to lose it again when the announcement came out, and we're just happy, watching just to get it across the line, because the people have trained for it, and this has been their Tour de France all year. There's no more people training for a marathon. You know, it's their pinnacle of their year, and the 555 is that. And we're overwhelmed, honestly, with the people that stayed with it, and they've stayed positive. And we're just happy now on Friday that we can get them off the ramp. And as you said there, like, you know, the lineup with Ronan coming back again to probably try and set another course record. Mark McGinley, they've stepped up to the mark. Young guy from Churchill out there, Glenn Swilly, that has a very good A1 rider, and he wants to have a challenge at something that he's trained hard all year for, maybe bigger races than not the 555, likes of the RAS or something else, and it's not going to happen. So he stepped up to the mark. It's going to be a massive challenge for Mark, but I have no doubt mentally and physically he's well able for this, you know. So he, to me, could fire a spanner in the works. Rory Devlin's coming back, that has done it before. Roy had bad luck last year, bad stomach cramps and stuff like that, so he had to pull out, you know. But there's a field there, you know, that could go any way. You know, there's a guy from Northern Ireland, Christopher Beattie, that has put in huge miles, huge training for it. And a few local riders, likes of Patrick Mornin from out there and Manon Cunningham, this is going to be his first attempt at the 555. And I met him on Saturday, and he's doing his last like long run, and he's telling me that he has like 9,600 miles done training for the 555, you know. So he's gonna be up there as well, you know. So it's going to be a massive event. And I suppose the pinnacle this year of the 555 is that we're getting Conor Dunn, that is like, he was a pro in his day. He's done the Giro, he's done the Vuelta, and he's working for a company now called GCN, and they're coming. So it's a big thing for us to have the 555 on the GCN website when the video goes viral, you know, in a couple of weeks when they've it all done, you know, watching. So we're really excited. You know, we'd just like to thank everybody, all our sponsors, all our new sponsors that come on this year and had positive and had faith in us that we were going to get this 555 across the line, you know. So roll on Friday morning at 7 o'clock for the first man to leave the ramp, and let's see who's going to be the, I suppose, crown winner of the 555 for this year.
There you go, Sean McFadden on the 555. Best of luck to all involved, and particularly those that are on the bikes this coming weekend. Now to Gaelic games. It's going to be a very interesting weekend in football in Tyrone, because the quarterfinals of the senior championship are taking place this weekend. There's two on Sunday, Dungannon against Arbogue and Argyll Kieran against Dromore. On Saturday, Coal Island will take on Derry Loughlin. But first up on Friday evening in Omagh, two of the big hitters, Trullick, are taking on Killyclogher. Paddy Hunter is a Tyrone GAA commentator and journalist. I have spoke to him this week as we looked ahead to those big games in Tyrone. So, Paddy, it's quarter-final weekend in the Tyrone Senior Football Championship. Just before we look into the first game, which is on Friday evening, maybe a note on attendances at matches in Tyrone, because here in Donegal, we're not allowed anybody near the matches. It was a surreal experience last weekend at the O'Donnell Park when there was nobody but the two teams and us media. It's a different story in with yous and Tyrone. Yous are allowed up to 400. Yes, you could take more. We're hearing stories of volunteers and gate men that are receiving abuse from spectators, which isn't their fault. What's it been like over the last couple of weeks in Tyrone, and particularly with the opening rounds of the championships, in relation to spectators and the protocols and how things have been managed?
Well, Oisín, thanks very much for getting me on again. It's a pleasure, as always, to talk to you there in Donegal. And I happened to be at a Donegal game recently myself, and there was only the limited number on that day. And I even seen the guards coming in to have a look, to check how many were there. Up this country, it's a different story right now. You're allowed to 400. But in the main, it's been very good. People have respected the protocols. And as you say, Oisín, it's not fair in the gate men and that people come up and badgering them and wanting to get in or whatever. There's only so many can get in. But the clubs would tell you that they would prefer to host more. And in terms of the risk assessment that the Northern government talked about, if you were going to host a game, you would have a risk assessment. A lot of them would tell you they could take a lot more people. You know, the last week we'd done the intermediate championships in the county. And well, in the main, there was a lot of people going, and you know, but there's obviously not the same numbers. But and you go to the junior, it'll be the same sort of thing. You know, the clubs are limited in terms of their numbers and that. But you have some big clubs in there in the intermediate, for example, Ahaloo and Ahearn, for example, there. And, you know, clubs of that quality that would expect big crowds going to watch them normally, you know. So they'd be a bit annoyed. Greencastle are always a big support. They were at Galway last weekend against Georgetown. And, you know, you just look around and you know there could have been more there. But they have to go with the protocols. And in the main, it's working pretty well. But it's disappointing that some people are getting a lot of abuse. And that's the downside of it. There's no doubt about that.
So, Paddy, then on to the action this weekend. It's a tasty one to start. Trillick against Killyclogher, the defending champions against the former champions. And one thing about the Tyrone Championship this year, since a straight knockout, it makes things that you haven't veered off from what you traditionally do. It makes things very, very interesting and exciting, so it does. And what we'll know on Friday evening is another of the big names are going to be gone.
No doubt about that, actually. No doubt about that. And we sort of know before you start in Tyrone, it's a straight knockout. You know, winner takes all. Killyclogher, reasonably impressive against Carrickmore in the first round. It's a 3-point victory over Carrickmore. You know, they come into this game with plenty of expectation. Mark Bradley scored a goal and 8 points in that game. Mark Hayes got a goal. But interesting enough to say that the likes of Oisín McCann, Hayes, Tiernan Cox, Tiernan McCann, Conor McCann, some of the bigger names, shall we say, John Rafferty in the defence there, didn't really perform the way that a lot of people expected them to. Now, for a lot of these players, the likes of Hayes, the goalkeeper, Young Grimes, John Rafferty, Oisín McCann, it was the first game in senior championship football. So, you sort of, they were thrown at the deep end. Didn't know probably what they expect. Carrying more of that tradition, of course. They've been around the block. So Killyclogher went into this game sort of wanting to get over the line, and that's what they did do. And that has to be very good for Mark Henry. Now, they're up against a Trillick side that huffed and puffed against Galway. Now, before we go any further, Galway, of course, won the intermediate double last year, the first championship of 60-odd years. John Marlin had them working very well, him and Kevin Kelly going pretty well there with them. And you have to look at it from the point of view that Galway come into this game with absolutely nothing to lose. It's their first year back in senior football again. That they were beaten by 5 points in the end, perhaps, but that's not a fair reflection on the contest. I said Trillick had 12 wades in that one, and Nigel Sini, he was just happy to get over the line. And, you know, Lee Brand scored 6 points. Virtuoso display from him on the night, a bit like him and Bradley. They're pretty similar in terms of taking points for fun, going for long scores. So it could come down to a battle of those two on Friday night. Trillick come into this game, plenty of improvement needed, but no doubt about that. Killyclogher are coming in under the radar, so to speak. They have the 3.1 over Carrickmore. So it's very much to play for. There's no doubt about that. From a Trillick perspective, they are the champions. Lots of experience about their squad. Richard Donnelly's been very, very good. Rory Brennan's been good. Matty Donnelly's showing no ill effects of the injury. You know, and it's funny how injuries come, because I was talking to Callum McShane last week for Lowen Rose. He missed their intermediate clash. They were beaten by Gordon in extra time. You know, his injury has taken a complete different turn. And Matty Donnelly is pouring at the moment. So it's funny how football can go and do those things to you. But in terms of Killick and Killick-Lahar Friday night, it's a TV game and TG4. There'll be a lot of people would love to get to that one because it's all the hallmarks of being a very intriguing championship encounter. And I'm certainly not going to tell you who I think might win it because it's too hard to call actually in that one.
It definitely is. Well, moving on to Saturday, the second of the last eight encounters is in Dungannon. It's Cole Island against Derry Loughlin. Cole Island came through against Clonoe in the opening round. I'm sure they'd be satisfied with their quarter-final draw, Paddy.
No doubt about that. Cole Island are buzzing at the moment. They had a 4-point victory or a 3-point victory over Clonoe. I would be fair to, and maybe unfair to say, but there was a 3-point hammering in reality. They have some wonderful players. There's quality about them from all parts. Plunkett Kane scored a wonderful goal in that game, scored 1-3. Bailey Leonard was exceptional. Tiernan Quinn, Cormac O'Hagan. You know, the list goes on in terms of the quality this Cole Island team have. And they're up against a very good Clonoe team as well, and that was a big parish derby. Incidentally, the sides meet again in the ladies' junior semi-final this weekend, so it's a wee bit of revenge maybe in Clonoe's mind this coming weekend as well. They're up against the Derry Loughlin side. In that game, it was a tactical battle with Moy, and throughout it was all about the quality of young Michael Conroy for Moy. He scored 13 of their 15 points and still ended up on the wrong side of that one. I'd be worried for Derry Loughlin in this one. They come into this game obviously buzzing. They've got through in the first round, but they haven't won the championship since 1981, and I don't think they'll be progressing after this because you just know Damien O'Hagan is Cole Island. Absolutely going to the nine at the minute. John Lynch is in there with the fitness stuff as well. They're a good side. Peter Hearn is the joint manager, of course, with Damien O'Hagan. They know what it's about to win the championship. And last year's disappointment, you know, in the championship has drilled them all. And they know where they're going. It's only 2 years since they won the championship last. And a lot of those younger players have all developed another year as well, actually. And I would fancy Derry Loughlin, a proper bit of a battle, but there's no way they're going to beat Cole Island.
Two games to come then on Sunday. The third of the quarterfinals is Dungannon against Arbow. Ahead of the opening round, you sort of marked Dungannon and you told me, keep an eye out for them. Would you expect them to come through this game on Sunday afternoon?
Arbow bring the Loch Shore mentality to the championship. There's no doubt about that. We've seen that against Dunlochmore. They had a point, one victory over Dunlochmore. They had dominated that game. For the third quarter, they scored, I think, 5 points, maybe 6 points up. They were flying absolutely, but allowed Dunlochmore back into that one. That would be a worry there for them, for Gavin Wiley and them. There's no doubt they'd be thinking that. They're up against Dungannon side, who scored 10 points unanswered in extra time against Loch McCrory and won by 10 points. They were lucky to get out of the first round. Loch McCrory had the game won. The referee played, I would say, maybe 6 or 7 minutes of additional time. A lot of people wonder where that time came out of. But at the end of the day, he's the man with the whistle. He's the man with the stopwatch. He called it as he's seen it. Loch McCrory, you know, will feel badly aggrieved for this one. They feel they should be in the first round. They've lost young Anton Fox through injury as well, which is a big blow for Tyrone, of course, with under 20. It's All-Ireland semi-final coming up. He's the captain of the side. But Dungannon looked very impressive. Paul Donaghy scored 9 points in that game. Young Kiefer Morgan got a goal in the point, and Paddy Quinn scored 1-2. There were a raft of different scores and a raft of young players, like Kieran Barker and Dally Jones and players like that. They're up against a good Arbow side, though. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that you just look at Arbow and he's Kyle Coney, Didi Mulgrew, and players of that all jump out. But Michael Cassidy had a great performance as well in that game against Dunlochmore. The only worry is, Oisín, that they could be caught by Dungannon. And unless they've learned their lesson from the game against Dunlochmore, well, they could be in trouble. That would be the only thought. But I think Arbow have the psyche, if you know what I mean, the Loch Shore mentality when it comes to the championship. And it's been a long time for them as well, Oisín. It's good for you. I think 1998 was the last time they won maybe the championship. You know, Dungannon, 1956, for a town like Dungannon, far too far away, isn't it? Really, when you think of it, like the amount of teams that have come through since that. And Dungannon have only huffed and puffed. Now, they're doing a lot of work behind the scenes, and they're finally getting their act together. They're looking pretty good, I have to say. But will they get out of this one? the hard to call are both that mentality, and that could be enough for them.
How big is Errol O'Kearn against Dromore? We've seen the two sides come through big matches in the opening round. This will be the last of the quarterfinals on Sunday, which starts at 5 o'clock, and it's a huge game to end the latest series. So it is, Paddy.
Well, starting with Dromore, Dromore beat my own club, Oma, by 5 points in extra time. Nels Ludden scored a great goal in that game. It's been a good performance from them, a good campaign overall. When you consider last year they were hammered by somewhere in the region of 13, 14 points last year, maybe more by Thrillick, that hurt Colin McCullough's team. They come back, they won the Division One league title, which is obviously, it goes to two semi-finals and a final, and they come back and won that. So that showed you their mentality. They've grasped a great clutch of players all around the squad. And, you know, likes of Andrew McGrath, one of the new boys in the block. Sean McDonald has been exceptional in defence for them. You know, Sean McNabb, Ronan McNabb. You know, there's all these boys who are capable of winning the game. There's no doubt about that. The test against Omo was an interesting one. Ronan O'Neill was good in that game. But Dromore managed to get over the line. Now, they're facing a regular side who haven't been tested. The reality is, Pomeroy huffed and puffed through that game. They scored 11 points, but got beat by 12. Could have been more. There's no doubt about that. Errol are a quality side. You only have to go through some of the names in that. They get Ben McDonald in the middle of the park, who's been absolutely superb. Neil Kelly as well. Thomas Canavan. Mark Kavanagh. Oren Robinson. Oren Robinson scored 1-4 in that game at full forward. Could have scored a bit more. Peter Hart got 5 points. You just know there's so much quality about Errol Kearn. They will fancy their chances to get over Dromore because, you know, of the quality and because of what they are and who they are. But that said, they're missing, I would say they're missing the region of maybe 6 players, Oshie. The likes of Dara Canavan and players of that, you know, there's other ones there who are Joe Goose, for example, all Kieran Knox, and they're out of the picture. So you can imagine the Serical side of that, everybody available, what they'd be like. But they haven't at the minute, and Dromore will certainly, you know, capitalise on that. Owen McCusker is the talent on his own. You know, quality player up front for Dromore, and you just know what you can get out of him. And it's a great year for Dromore, of course, because Chumray, the local soccer side, great connections between the two there. They won the local Fermanagh and Western League there recently. So there's a real good connection there. There's a buzz about Dromore. They've got out of the blocks this year where they failed last year. Confidence is growing with them. But on a normal night, Carrickmore would have 5,000 or 6,000 people go watch that game. That's the reality of the Tyrone Championship. We're lucky with the TV now. I suppose that's the only thing, and it's going well again. And, you know, on a normal night, Carrickmore, you'd have thousands of people. And that's the way the Championship is throughout this weekend. Yeah. Omagh would have maybe 2,000 or 3,000 on Friday night, you know, as well, for Thrillick and Killiecklaher. And you have all the neutrals coming, the boys from South Donegal, the boys from South Derry, Armagh, Down, Monaghan, all would come to watch those games. So that's the frustrating thing, because it's such a good quality Championship, and as we said, Oisín, before, it's winner take all, and that makes it all exciting. And I'm not going to tell you who I think's going to win that game, but I think Errol will maybe have just a wee bit of edge in their own mindset. Although Colin McCullough will have his homework done for that one. There's no doubt about that. And that, as I said, that's what makes the Championship special. But we've a wild busy weekend in Tyrone this weekend, Oisín, because as I said to you, we have the ladies' semi-finals on Friday night. The two seniors, and that is Spernogan, St. McCartan's. Of course, Ryan McMenamin in charge of St. McCartan's. They're going for 5 in a row of senior titles. And Errol Kearn against Dungannon O'Rourke. So an interesting one there. And then we have the junior and intermediate and junior B, obviously, on Saturday night. We also have the intermediate quarterfinals this weekend as well. So it's going to be a mental weekend. But thankfully, as I said, they think off the TV end of things, you know.
Certainly so. Paddy, you covered everything there exceptionally well. Good luck with the weekend. I'm sure you'll be tired come Sunday evening. I suppose there's no point in me asking you who the four teams are going to be in the senior semi-final.
I'll tell you on Monday. But I genuinely would fancy, at this stage, I will tell you a couple. I would fancy Cull Island, definitely. Out of them all, I think Cull Island's going to progress. After that, I'll toss a coin and tell you on Monday.
Okay. Thanks, Paddy.
Thank you.
Paddy Hunter with a rundown on the football action in Tyrone. Elsewhere in Gaelic games in the northwest, there is of course fixtures in Donegal this coming weekend. The action's due to start tomorrow Friday. There's a Divisional 1 game in Section C scheduled to start at 7, Bundoran against Glenfinn. In the Junior Football Championship, tomorrow evening in Group B, Narossa are set to host Downings. And there's two matches in the Senior Hurling Championship on Friday, with Buncrana against Setanta and McCool's against Burt. That Buncrana-Setanta game could be a curtain raiser to what will eventually turn out to be the final in the Senior Championship. Both, of course, are tipped to make it to the decider. Not forgetting about the ladies in Donegal, there's a big standout tie at senior level. Glenfinn will play Moville on Sunday, with the winner to go through to play Termon in the final. There's a couple other finals played, been played as well on Sunday. At intermediate level, St Eunan's will take on St Noel's in the ladies at McCool Park at 1 o'clock. The ladies Junior B final will be contested between Oris and Mallon, and the plate final at Junior B level between Burt and Niamh Padraic Muff. Turning our attention now to soccer, and the two North West clubs, Finharps and Derry City, are involved in cup competition this weekend. On Saturday evening at 5, Derry City will go to United Park to play Drogheda in the last 16. While later on Saturday at 7:45, Finharps are heading to the Carlisle grounds to play Bray Wanderers. Harps, of course, go into that game off the back of their first league win since football resumed in early June, and it is their second league win since the season started back in February. It's a timely boost for the squad as well. I've been speaking to Ollie Horgan, who said there's a lot of encouragement to come out of that win away from home last week.
Any result, I think, would give us a lift, but to be fair, I think it's the manner that the lads achieved the result was probably, you know, the most encouraging. We didn't play, you know, hugely well in it. It was, you know, we were behind twice and behind, but a couple of minutes ago we conceded the second, and to be fair to them, they showed an awful lot of character, to be fair to them. That's encouraging, and it gives us and them a lot of hope. But we need to add to it, and we need to add, you know, points to it when we go to Sligo on Monday week, and when we play Derry on the following weekend on the Sunday.
Yeah. How is the squad this week? Did they all come through unscathed from that tie, did they?
Yeah, well, we were short a number that didn't travel with us, and one or two that were nursing injuries that we did tug on the bench, and we didn't use one of them in particular. They came through okay. However, we've a few longer term injuries that the Bray Cup game on Saturday will probably be a little bit, maybe a week or two early for it. But look, we've numbers back, to put it that way, to you, that we mightn't have had before, and we won't be complaining about the multitude of games now, on the basis that we've had, you know, 6 days since Waterford to prepare for Bray on Saturday.
Yeah, so you're going to mix things up again come the cup match on Saturday. Then you will be making a few changes.
Yeah, we will. We'll freshen things up to a degree. You know, that's not it's nothing really on the basis. We will give lads maybe game time that may not have got a huge amount of it, but we need to be at our best, regardless of the personnel that come out to get into out of Brave. They're looking for promotion. It's probably the reverse of the situation we were in when we went to Bray in the Cup. I think it might have been 2 years ago. Yeah. We were at the top of the First Division. They were at the bottom of the Premier Division, and we ran out winners. And it's kind of the reverse of that on Saturday, where we're in the opposite camps at the moment as regards the division.
Yeah, I suppose it shows what Irish football can be like. There's been so much change within both squads, Ollie, in a short period of time, which is really just two seasons, so it is, and it's probably an indication of how things evolve so quickly in the League of Ireland.
Yeah, there's certainly, you know, there's only a couple of players there that are still in the club since I was there. I think there's only two of them, to put it that way. There's lads that came and went, and then there's others. Obviously, it turns over very, very quickly, as it does with a lot of teams. Maybe the exceptions being the likes of Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers that can get long-term contracts and keep the players there for a length of time. We're not in that position, and neither are Bray, to be fair to them. But, you know, we need to play well to get to whatever, be it extra time, be it penalties. And if we play well, it'll go to the wire, to put it that way.
Yeah, I'm sure you watched Bray in recent weeks. What are they going to bring to the table, Ollie?
Yeah, I saw Bray play in the league in Galway last Friday. they bring a lot of experience. They have a very good mixture of experience and legs with youth. The likes of Gary Shaw, you know, Gary Deegan is a Premier Division player also. He's back from, you know, Gary was playing with Doncaster in the English League up to 2 years ago. He played with Waterford. He's been in Bray now in the last, whatever, year and a half. Our Killian Cantrell that was with us, Killian is a Premier Division player. Aaron Barry, that would have played around the country in Derry and Cork, and you know they've serious quality. They have Premier Division players, and I'm sure they're hoping that they'll be a Premier Division club next year.
Yeah, is this a game, Ollie, that you would see has been much more winnable than if you were playing maybe another of the top half sides in the Premier Division?
No, there's very little difference between Bray and, if you like, the bottom of the Premier Division, to put it that way. Yeah, if you're comparing it with a way to Shamrock Rovers or a way to Dundalk, yep, there would be a gap. However, if you're talking about the lower end of the Premier Division where we're competing in, they would compete in that very comfortably, to put it that way. Yeah. So the top half of the First Division is very strong, as it always has been, but look, please God, we'll be worrying about the Premier Division for the number of weeks and months ahead.
Yeah, I get the feeling that maybe you would rather have a league game this weekend than a cup match, Ollie. Would that be?
Yeah. If we'd lost in Waterford, you probably would be delighted for the cup game. The fact that you won and you turned it around, and the players showed a huge amount of character. Yeah, you'd love to carry it into to a league game. However, we'd love to stay in the cup, to put it that way, to Oisín, and you know, at least we have a little bit of confidence and behind us. And as I said, you know, can we kick on from turning around? As I said earlier in the conversation, we didn't play all that well in Waterford and won, which is usually a very good sign. We've often played a lot better than last, which basically, you know, didn't add anything to you. But this will be touch and go. Should we be at ourselves on Saturday? There's very little between the teams. They have home advantage, and without doubt, they'll fancy getting to the quarter final of the cup.
Yeah, you brought in Adam Foley before the Waterford game, Ollie. What was the qualities that you've seen in him that you wanted to bring him to Donegal?
Look, I know Adam from his time in particular in Glenavon. He was around the Irish League, he was around the Championship with Newry and indeed with Portadown. But I knew him from his time up at Glenavon, where he has ability and in the attacking end, third of the pitch, which we needed to add to. He's only coming back really from. Like, he hasn't played a competitive game bar what he played in the last while in Waterford. Hasn't played in quite a while since the Championship in the North locked down back in March. So it'll take him a while to get up to full speed, but he has quality, he has ability, and, you know, he needs game time also to get back to the standard that we need to try and keep us in the Premier Division, isn't he?
Yeah. Just finally, Ollie, are you still scouting for any more additions?
Yeah, we are, except, you know, the deadline is tomorrow, and we would love to take in maybe one more, but it hasn't materialised. We're always looking for players to come in. We'd love to strengthen with one more, to put it that way to you, but as of now, you know, near the end of the week, and the deadline effectively is tomorrow, that you know, your registrations would have to be in by tomorrow, it looks highly unlikely, Oisín.
Okay, listen, Ollie, thanks for taking the call, and the best luck in the cup match of the weekend.
Thank you, Oisín.
Finn Harps boss Ollie Horgan ahead of that Bray Wanderers Finn Harps fixture. As we said earlier, Derry also playing against Drogheda United. Derry on the road looking to bounce back after their European defeat earlier in the week. On Tuesday, of course, they lost out by 3-2 in extra time at the hands of Rittery. And heartbreak for Derry in a game which they know that they could have got a lot more out of. This was Declan Devine's reaction after the game on Tuesday night. He was very, very disappointed with the outcome.
A real wasted opportunity tonight to progress through from the qualifying round. Our the manner in which we conceded the goals was very disappointing, but we were very wasteful also in front of goal. We can't afford to give any team the goals that we gave them tonight. Again, it's been something that's happened in a few games already this season, is something we have to address. But at the minute, you know, it's very disappointing for everybody. That tonight was an opportunity for us to progress through a round of Europe. Again, look, absolutely gutted and disappointed for the effort we put under the game. But as I say again, you can't give away the goals we give away tonight and expect to qualify through a round of Europe.
So there you heard a disappointed Declan Devine that they didn't get anything out of a European game on Tuesday night. Joining me now from the Derry Journal, sports journalist Kevin McLaughlin. Kevin, a very good evening.
Good evening, Oisin.
A disappointed Declan Devine, and rightly so. Very much, I suppose, in that game that there was something there for the taking for Derry.
Certainly was. While no media could attend the game, everybody sort of sat and watched it on the stream, and Derry know themselves, they're absolutely kicking themselves. They had chance after chance in the second half. They started off superbly, getting an opening goal, but the goals they conceded was, to be brutally honest, typical Derry this season. Three headers and the winning goal. Peter Cherry, I'll have to know himself that he wasn't good enough for the winning goal right on extra time. But you seen even the celebrations at the end of the game by the Lithuanian team, you could see how much they were shocked, to be honest with you, that they had won. And they were absolutely buzzing. You'd thought they'd won the Europa League. That's how much they couldn't believe that they get through. Derry know themselves. It was a massive opportunity and a massive financial boost missed by the club by not getting through.
Yeah, and I suppose as the game went on, Derry got more frustrated, particularly in that extra time period, Kevin.
They did, and that's probably the thing that Declan Devine's most disappointed with, because he'd done, because of the, it was a stream and there's no sound, you could hear the sort of rally cry from Declan at the end of the 90 minutes. You heard his sort of team talk, the boys going, look, half an hour, give us one more goal, we're dominating the second half, we're the team in the ascendancy here, they go and win the game. And 30 seconds and the extra time, they concede what turned out to be the winner, and that just killed them. And Declan just was bitterly disappointed, as you heard in the audio. He just says that at the end of the day, you know, all the goals he conceded, it's not good enough. It's not good enough in probably Ulster Senior League level, let alone Europa League level.
Yeah. Well, Derry will have to forget about that match now, and they have to put it behind them. Drogheda's next in the cup for them. How will they be this week, do you think, in training as they prepare for that game? And will Declan make many changes, will he?
Well, it's a case of Conor Clifford's going to be out. He suffered a broken nose in Latvia, so he's missing, or Lufthien, I should say, so he's missing. But, you know, he doesn't have much in the striking for, in the attacking for, I should say, where he can change things up. He doesn't have that option. So he's going to have to go with the same team again in the final for it. Possibly Walter Figueroa might come back, and he was a blow picking up an injury just there before they went out. So he missed the Europa League tie. He was a big blow and a big loss. If he's back, then it's a case that I could see him going straight back into the starting lineup. But yeah, you're right. This is, to be honest, this is an absolutely humongous game for Derry, because if he loses, your season's effectively over. And then it's a case of, because it's so tight in the league, it's a case of, yes, talk about trying to get in the Europa League spot for next year, but it's probably more looking the other way too, and see, make sure you don't get relegated.
Yeah, I suppose the contrast between Finn Harps and Derry City. I've spoke to Ollie Horgan, whose aim is to get into that playoff spot, Kevin, and the cup is not even really seen as an added bonus. So it's not. It's a game that they just have to get through, but they're very much focused on what's to come, Sligo and Derry, in the next few weeks. Whether it's sort of, it's flipped the other way on Derry, so it is.
It certainly has, you know, the cup and trying to finish third or fourth for the last couple of years has been a place to get into the Europa League and qualifying for Europe. You know, it all depends on who wins the FAI Cup this year. But yeah, the FAI Cup is massive. Derry, over the years, have been a traditional cup side, as we all know them, out the times they've won it, compared to winning the league title. They've only won it once. So it's a case of, you know, trying to move on and get the cup. And draw it away, it's not going to be easy. You know, there's no doubt about it. They're sitting fantastically in second spot in the first division, won their last three games. I know Declan and Paddy McCourt actually went down and watched them, and they beat Galway 1-0 there a couple of Monday nights ago now. So they know what they're going to be up against. They're scoring goals, drawing it, and they're not conceding many. So down that little United Park pitch, it'll be a difficult tie.
Yep, you mentioned the top half of the pitch that maybe Derry is lacking in that department. As from tomorrow evening, they're not allowed to sign any more players that are out of contract. Would it surprise you if Declan Devine added another face in the next 12 hours or so?
It wouldn't, to be honest. He knows himself that, you know, Ibrahim Mete and James Akintunde have done well since they've come in. They're no denying that. But, you know, them two, Walter Figueroa and Stephen Mallon, is really the attack-minded players. Yes, Adam Hamill has done well too in there, but he's 32 and you're throwing him in and playing him every week. So would it surprise me? No. Can they get somebody? That's the other thing. You know, it's difficult, because while it's out-of-contract players, you can sign probably from England and Scotland. England and Scotland, there's so many players over there that are just looking for clubs, so you know they might get a League Two or League One or club over there, so that, it could be difficult, but you know, here's hoping if you're decking the vine and trying to get a man in.
Yeah, and suppose looking ahead, Dundalk's up next after the cup game, followed by Finn Harps and Ballybuffet, and then they're back home to St. Patrick's Athletic. I suppose there's not much travelling included in those series of matches in the league, but Declan, I'm sure, will be keeping an eye on what's coming down the road, and after the cup is going to be Dundalk.
Well, this is it then. It's a Dundalk team that, you know, we all seen and seen the sort of, to be brutally honest, the demise of Dundalk over the last couple of months. Everything's just seemed to have gone slightly pear-shaped there, but a new manager in there, he's going to try and make his own stamp on the team and hope that the owners don't get involved. They try and pick the team is what the we're led to believe why Vinnie Purf was possibly let go. But Dundalk are, you know, they're not the same side as they were last year, or the last couple of years in fact, but certainly not even last year when they were dominant and won everything bar the FAI Cup. But so from that point of view, you just don't know what Dundalk's going to be like, what Dundalk team you're playing. If you're Derry City, you probably wouldn't have minded playing them now, just before this new manager come in. So you would expect Dundalk to be a bit better with this new manager, but they're certainly not the Dundalk team that you'd be fearful as what you were last year.
Okay, they've got the cup game to come first. Just finally then, Kevin, would you be confident that Derry can come back up the road on Saturday evening with progression through to the next round?
Yeah, I will be confident because, you know, while they're bitterly disappointed, and rightly so, with the Europa League defeat, they played well, they had chances, they have to cut out making the mistakes. And I know Declan Devine's like a broken record saying that, they have to learn from the mistakes. Well, they're not, and they really do need to, and Drogheda will fancy their chances. Any high ball, long for one, Derry are definitely in baller and have been all season. But if they can get their act together in the final third, more importantly, and defensively, from set plays and marking men up, not giving away silly goals, I would fancy Derry to get a narrow victory at United Park.
Okay, Kevin, thanks for joining us today.
So, Waller.
Kevin McLaughlin there. Just one other big fixture of note this coming weekend. It's an Inishowen. Alia going for the double in the League Cup final. They're playing Glengad United. Alia, of course, played Glengad last week. It finished 0-0. That point was good enough for Alia to take their first title since 2012. And they're now looking to go for the double. That match is on Saturday evening at Begin Park in Buncrana, and it kicks off at 5 o'clock. Well, from one McLaughlin to another, we're turning our attention now to cricket, and it's going to be a busy Saturday, weather permitting, with semi-finals in the various Northwest Cup competitions. Earlier today, I took a look at those with Highlands cricket correspondent Eamon McLaughlin. Well, Eamon, it's a big weekend in cricket, Northwest Cup semi-finals. First of all, it's been a while since we spoke. You're welcome back to Highland Sport.
Yeah, good to be back.
Two big games this weekend, Dunamana Coleraine, Brady against Brigade. It's been a change of format. They've all been playing T20 senior cricket, Eamon. How has it gone down before we look at those last four games? What's the response been like in the Northwest to the new format?
Well, I think everybody was delighted just to get playing cricket. I think a lot of people thought there was going to be no cricket at all. So T20 was better than nothing. But it's gone down well. There's been some exciting games, and it's over in 3 or 4 hours, so a lot of people are enjoying that, and the players especially, not hanging about the 7, 8 o'clock at night now. So it's gone down very, very well.
Yeah, and attendances as well at the games, Eamon, seem to be big. I know in Derry and in along Tyrone, you are allowed up to 400 at matches. There's nobody allowed at games, no matter what sport it is out here, but by all accounts, they've been well attended, and people have been enjoying cricket, particularly when the weather's been good.
Been very well attended. All the clubs have had good support, and as you say, the weather hasn't been that bad. So the crowds have come out, especially new buildings who are big following. And the other sides too have been well supported, Dunamana as usual. But it's gone down well.
Right, let's look at the two semi-finals in the Senior Cup. Dunamana against Coleraine, Brady against Brigade. What do you make of those two, Eamon?
Well, Dunamana home advantage, T20 suits them. They've got a lot of big hitters on their side, and they've got a lot of big scores already in the preliminary rounds. So they would be favourites going into that. But can't underestimate Coleraine, because David Cook has gone back to them from Glendermot. Graham Hume, the professionals, having a good season so far. So they'll not be underestimating that Coleraine. Dunamana won't be. But as I say, home advantage, you have to fancy Dunamana. Going on to the other one, Brady and Brigade. Brigade, the holders, of course, lost Gareth McKeegan and Johnny Thompson to new buildings this year. But Ryan Hunter has returned to the club, so that's made up for one of their losses. But Brigade, they'll be determined to hold on to that cup. They done the double last year. They'll want to retain the cup. Brady, always a difficult side, a good enough side at home, and David Scanlon's got his players playing well, good players like David Rankin and the likes. Brigade will go into it as favourites, but I wouldn't underestimate Brady. But it looks as if it would be what a lot of people would probably want, a Dunamana Brigade final.
Yeah. Looking at the rest of the cup competitions, it's all to do with placings and how you finished in the T20 series. The Fochan Valley Cup's made up of Kelly Clooney against Fox Lodge and New Buildings against Eglinton, Eamon.
Yeah, that New Buildings Eglinton's interesting because New Buildings, as I said a minute or two ago, they were strengthened with Johnny Thompson and Gareth McKeegan. Eglinton, of course, a Premier Division side. They'll be favourites, but it's at New Buildings, so New Buildings will not all fancy their chances up there, and I wouldn't be surprised if New Buildings won that one. The other one is Kelly Clooney will be favourites there, being a home advantage, but Fox Lodge have been used as senior cricket or Premier Division cricket over the years, so I wouldn't write them off either. They have some good cricketers, young John Jason Mulligan. He's opening the bat for them. He's amongst the runs this year. So that'll be, I think that'll be a high-scoring game, that, because two sides that really go at the bowling. So it could be high-scoring, with maybe Kelly Clooney just slight favourites.
On to the Samuel Jeffrey Cup. We now have two cricket clubs in Donegal, Eamon, Letterkenny, and the other, of course, that have been around for quite some time is St Johnstone. And the St Johnstone boys are going on the road against Ballyspallan. Can they trouble them at the weekend?
Well, Ballyspallan have had a poor enough season so far. I think maybe they're probably yet to win a match, although they've qualified for this cup. I think they finished bottom of their section. So St Johnstone can fancy their chances there. Ballyspallan are not the strongest side. They've lost one or two players from last year. So St Johnstone, they'll always give it a go, and they have a good couple of good performances already this season. So it'd be great to see St Johnstone get into that final. It would be wonderful to see them finish up the season with a trophy. And yeah, you could fancy them to beat Ballyspallan.
Yeah, the other one's Bowens Glen against Burndennet and the Samuel Jeffrey. And then there's one semi-final in the Eric Cook. It's Ardmore against Strabane, two clubs that have played in the top flight of cricket in recent years. And the winner will go through to play Glen Dermot, Eamon.
Yeah, two clubs, as you say, have been around for a long time in senior cricket, but both of them are having terrible seasons. Decker Curry's not playing for Ardmore this year. He doesn't fancy the T20 format, surprisingly. And Strabane haven't won a match either. So these two sides going in, well, some of them is going to lose their unbeaten record, going to win a game first of the season. Hard to call that one, really. The two of them are very ordinary sides. Glendermot are waiting on the wings. Glendermot will probably not be too worried about who they meet, because they'll fancy themselves to win that cup. But Ardmore-Strabane's hard to call. Maybe just Ardmore.
Okay, Eamon, hopefully the weather will hold out for the cricket this weekend.
Yeah, weather permitting, we should have a good weekend's cricket.
Yep, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us, Eamon.
Okay, Oshie, no problem.
In athletics, the second weekend of the AAI National Senior Track and Field Championships are taking place this Saturday and Sunday at the Morton Stadium in Santry. We did, of course, see Brendan O'Donnell and Summer Leckie take national senior titles last weekend. Hopefully, there could be another one or two coming back to the Northwest this coming weekend. Finally, just one notice, Carndonagh Football Club are hosting a golf classic on Saturday the 5th of September. It's at Ballyliffin Golf Club on the Old Links. Members, €100, visitors, €160, nearest to pin, and there's the best ladies team as well. For more information there, check out Carndonagh FC on Facebook, or indeed you can call Ballyliffin Golf Club for more details as well. That's it from the Score programme for tonight. You will, of course, be able to listen back to the show if you missed any of it just after the 8 o'clock news in the sports section of highlandradio.com. And I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news bulletin. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.